This is the Legislative Council meeting of September 1st, 2016, and the time is 1:07. And thank you all for being here. I realize this was a quickly called meeting and a short notice, but I appreciate that everyone was able to adjust their agenda. Speaking of which, let's go on to the approval of the agenda. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Legislative Council approve the agenda.
Yes, I apologize. I should have called the roll. Representative Johnson, could you hold that for just 1 minute? And Pam, would you call the roll, please?
Chair Stevens.
Here.
Vice Chair Herron. Vice Chair Herron. Was that a yes?
Hang on a second.
Vice Chair Herron, are you with us? Representative Herron?
All right.
Let's go ahead then.
All right. Senator Meyer.
Here.
Senator Coghill.
Here.
Senator Hoffman.
Here.
Senator Huggins. Senator McKinnon.
Here.
Senator Michicki.
Here.
Senator McGuire. Senator Giesel. Representative Chenault. Representative Hawker. Representative Johnson.
Here.
Representative Keto. Representative Millett. Representative Newman. Representative Thompson.
Here.
Representative Drummond.
Here.
10 members present.
Thank you very much.
Herron present.
11 members.
Representative Herron, that's 11. Thank you. Again, Representative Johnson, if you wouldn't mind.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Leg Council approve the agenda.
Thank you. Is there any objection?
You print that out as on.
Say that again. Seeing and hearing no objection then the agenda is approved. Let's move on to then ratification of charitable events. As you know, we do look these over. We've sanctioned the event, Legislative Council ratifying the Kenai Peninsula Boys Girls Club annual auction gala. That was sanctioned, and it was and is a 501c3 organization, and so we've checked it in its proper organization. Representative Johnson, if you don't mind, for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Legislative Council ratify the chair's sanctioning of the following charitable events per AS24.60.080A2B, the Kenai Boys and Girls Club Annual Auction Gala.
Thank you. Is there any objection? We're seeing and hearing none, then that event has been ratified. Then on to the only other piece of business, which should take a little bit of time, but not too much, and that's the cuts to the LIO budget. As you know, we did recommend some reductions and sent it on to finance with some wording. What we received from finance is that wording was taken out, and simply there is a reduction of $298,000 that needs to come out of the LIO account. We've got a large selection of options, and I have my own favorite, and I know the staff has their own favorite, and we express that. But I thought it'd be a good idea to go through all of the options. You should have them in front of you. If anybody doesn't, let me know. There are actually 11 options. There may be more options, but I'd hope that by the end of this meeting, we can actually have a motion to make that reduction of $298,000 and be very specific about where it's coming from. I said when I was talking to the staff about this earlier that this is a real dog's breakfast of options. And if you hear that term, in the British Isles, a dog's breakfast is an unappetizing mess. It's also Australian rock band, so you know what we're approaching here. So there are all these options, and I'd ask Ms. Varney to go through them one by one, and maybe any opening comments that she has on how we approach this this cut.
Thank you, Senator. So the House Finance Committee had a zero cut to the LIO budget. The Senate Finance Committee cut $250,000, and the description said Bethel, Nome, Seward, and Soldotna LIOs funded for session only. I might add, just so you know, this is for the FY17 budget, and in the FY16 budget, the reductions that were taken to the LIO is Barrow Information Officer, the Kotzebue Information Officer, was reduced from 12 months to 6 months. We also had a reduction with the Fairbanks Information Assistant and the Mat-Su Information Assistant going from full-time to part-time. And we also reduced our Juneau Information Assistants 8 positions from 5 months to 4 months and had to reduce some of our casual labor pool also to come up with
what
that.
What was that total cut, Ms.
Ryan? The total cut to the LIO last year was $358,700. So we're talking about $298,000 here, and what ended up happening in conference committee is conference committee kept the $250,000 cut, but they changed the language to say budget savings. And historically, legislative council has taken action and wanted to have input when we look at closing an LIO or doing these reductions, because this is really an extension of our 60 legislators' offices. We have professional staff in 23 information offices, and the majority of our information officers are range 16. We have a couple of range 18s where they're regional information officers, like in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Kenai. So I'd like to go through these options, and then maybe you might come up with some others, and I'd be glad to answer questions after I go through these. Number one.
Well, thank you. Before you start, Pam, just if I could say that if you'd listen up to all of these options, there may be some in one you like and some in another you like, or something you don't like. So you sort of keep track of as Pam is going through these. Ms. Varney? Yes?
Could I ask a question before Drummond, Ms. Varney?
Drummond, yes.
Thank you. I, being new at this, I don't know what a casual labor pool is and what that what the casual labor pool, how it fits into the structure of the LIOs.
That's a very good point, and if you want to answer that now, Ms. Varney, we'll answer it when we get to those issues.
Well, I'd be glad to answer, I guess, as we go along, so you don't, you know, so we stay in the same category or option. I also have Sue Cotter, who is our manager of information and teleconference online, and she can go into more detail or answer some of the questions. But we have a casual labor pool, and what that is where we have LIO staff that work on an hourly basis. It is a range 13, and they fill in for our salaried staff and supplement our existing staff, and they're used different times, like for nighttime or weekend teleconferences, when the salaried staff goes on vacation. And Sue, do you have anything to add to that?
Hi, Sue Cotter, manager of the Information and Teleconference Network. Thank you. Through the chair, Pam, I think you've pretty much covered it, with the exception that I'd like to add that, especially in some of our smaller communities, our offices serve as kind of one-stop shops because they don't have other available governmental agencies in the vicinity. So, for instance, as an example, we do a lot of permanent fund dividend work on behalf of the division, and I realize that's not, you know, that's another branch of government, but it's another service we provide the constituents. You know, those folks that have a hard time with the forms or don't have access to a computer or maybe English is their second language. We also have been given special dispensation by the Permanent Fund Division to certify documents like passports, birth certificates, that sort of thing, so people don't have to mail in those original documents to the PFD Division and worry about them getting lost or what have you. So that's one of the services that some of the smaller, well, all the communities with the exception of Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau do. And frankly, it's grown a lot. For instance, this is just one example, but Sitka helped 500 people this past January through March, Kenai over 600, Glen Allen 200, you know, it goes on. So that's one of the ways we use our casual labor pool, but mostly it's to supplement if a one-person office is sick or, you know, out of necessity they can't be in the office, we'll bring in an hourly employee to cover the office. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Senator Stevens, again, that's an important issue because I know we are spending a lot of time in my LIOs responding to PFD questions, helping people move through that. My staff, legislative staff, spends time doing that, and, of course, the LIO staff does as well. And that's really not – that's truly not our responsibility, but it's a responsibility that's fallen to us. So one we should certainly be aware of.
Yes. Thank you, yes.
Yep. Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Cotter mentioned some numbers. I caught the Glen Allen number, the number of people that that those remote LIOs serve. Could she repeat that, or is that available? Is that available as a list? I was curious about the number of service incidents, shall we call them.
How many RFP, how many permanent fund
Yeah.
questions are.
Yeah, those kinds of things. And then the other things that I'm not sure how many members of the public actually come in to the LIOs in other communities during committee meetings like this, for example, during the interim. Is there a way to assess those numbers of contacts from the public?
So thank you, through the chair, Sue Cotter again. Representative Drummond, the number I gave for Glen Allen was 190 individuals served regarding the PFD. That could be anywhere from just giving a paper application to them or helping them establish their presence online with MyAlaska and filing online. You have to remember that in a lot of these smaller communities, some people don't have access to the internet, so they come and use our office for some of those things. The PFD is just one example. It's a major deal, but in some of the offices. But we also do other things, help people with other parts of the other two branches of government, ombudsman inquiries, providing federal tax forms, unemployment questions, federal congressional contact information, register voters. General election information, commercial fisheries entry commission forms, those types of things that maybe they have a hard time accessing in some of these communities. Again, don't have a computer, don't maybe have access to the internet, or, just have a hard time navigating the system. Does that answer your question?
For the time being, yes. Thank you.
And Sue, while we're on this, again, Senator Stevens, could you talk a little bit about the casual labor pool, is that used primarily during session, during interim, both, and audio conferencing? Could you give us an idea of how that casual labor is used?
So casual labor is, if I had to put a percentage on it, it's probably 90% used during the session to fill in, as we mentioned before. During the interim, the offices that are closed, that are session only, they use that casual labor pool sparingly to come in maybe once a week to check messages, to check on the office, to retrieve mail and respond to anything they need to respond to. I generally get, and I suspect, by the way, that probably half the session only offices don't even charge us for this, but I get timesheets that will be, an hour and a half a week or, 0.5 a week, something like that. So it's not used very much at all during the interim.
Thank you very much. Any further questions of Ms. Cotter? So, yes, please, Mr. Speaker.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just one point of clarification, or maybe 2 points of clarification. One is that in the language that Pam talked about earlier that was introduced, I think, on the dark side, there is no Soldotna LIO. There is a Kenai LIO, but not a Soldotna one. So just for clarification there. And could somebody give maybe the public an understanding the the amount to be deducted was originally $250,000, but now we're talking about $298,000. Could someone, just for the public's information, maybe Pam or Sue, either one, explain that discrepancy and why it's at $298,000 instead of $250,000?
Okay, thank you, Representative Chenault. Very solid question. Can you, Pam, talk about that $298,000 instead of $250,000?
Yes, through the chair, Representative Chenault, our FY16 management plan, the difference between what was authorized in FY16 and what we requested in FY17 to make us whole, and what the legislature looked at approving was a difference of $298,000. So we needed that $48,000 in order to pay for merit increases, for increases in our services. And so that is the difference, and to try and we do already have a vacancy factor there with a minus. It would just up that amount. So that was the amount that we would need, that $298,000, to make us whole.
And Mr. Chairman, thanks, Pam. I knew that, but I was concerned that the public might be reading those or hearing those two numbers and not understanding what the difference was. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And absolutely right. The figure we need to be looking at is 298. Thank you. Pam, if you'd start through those. Is there anybody that does not have these 11 options?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
This is Machiki. Is there a reason why something over the 298? If we found a combination where the savings are more substantial than that, is that a negative, or what's the committee's view on that potential?
Well, my goal is to get to 298, and most of our options have some reduction in casual labor, so I think we just fill out whatever's left with a casual labor number. But to try to get to 298 is the goal, Senator Machiki.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Option number one is reduce the Kenai, Seward, Nome, Bethel legislative information officers from 12-month positions to 6-month positions, and also reduce the casual labor pool. And I've identified how much that saves there. So that would be the total of 298, and this number one was really looking at what the Senate originally put in. Option number two is...
Pam, is that the proposal that we and Ledge Council voted on and sent to the finances? I think that was it, wasn't it?
We did look at, I think this was a recommendation.
That's right. It wasn't a vote, just a recommendation.
It was
right.
A recommendation when the Senate was trying to look at cutting.
Okay. Thank you. And if you go on to two, then?
You bet. And the reason for really one and two is, and when we go on to many of the others, is we're not trying to spread this reduction across all of the LIOs and just have it not be as painful for everyone. We're just looking at trying to just identify a few LIOs is what we're doing. So number two is reducing Kenai, Seward, Nome from 12 months to 6 months and reducing the casual labor pool by 50% across all the LIOs. And if this reduction happens to the casual labor pool to this magnitude, it means that some of our salaried employees will have to accrue more comp time in filling in for that time. Number three is reducing all the year-round LIOs with the exception of Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau from 12 months to 11 months. and that would be Kenai, Seward, Nome, Bethel, Kodiak, Ketchikan, Sitka, Mat-Su, and it would eliminate the casual labor pool to come up with the 298. Number four is reduce all year-round LIOs from 12 months to 11 months and reduce the casual labor pool. It still leaves us with a casual labor pool with number four. Number five is reduce all year-round LIOs by closing all offices on Fridays. That's 7.5 hours throughout the year. And it would only reduce the casual labor pool by about $10,000. Number six is reduce all year-round LIOs with the exception of Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau by closing all offices on Fridays throughout the year and reduce the casual labor pool. Number seven is reduce all year-round LIOs by closing all offices on Friday afternoons for a half a day. That's 3.5 hours throughout the year and reduce the casual labor pool. Number eight is reduce all year-round LIOs by closing all offices on Friday afternoons for a half a day with the exception of Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau during session. They would then, during the interim, take the half a day on Friday's afternoons and also reduce the casual labor pool. Number nine is reduce all year-round LIOs by closing all offices on Friday afternoons for a half a day during the interim and reduce the casual labor pool. All LIOs would be open full-time at all locations during session. Number 10 is other possible budget-cutting options that Legislative Council could consider with a mixture of some of the above options to realize the $298,000 reduction. We could look at eliminating the TOC LIO. There are already three LIOs on the road system. That's Glen Allen, Delta Junction, and TOC. It would save $78,900. And the other one is Ketchikan LIO staff reduced from 12 months to 6 months, saves $53,000. And if we looked at Kenai, Seward, Nome, Bethel, Ketchikan, Sitka, Kodiak, and Mat-Su, those information officers going from 12 months to 9 months, it would save $240,900. And number 11, which is my favorite, is having Legislative Council per AS 242140, direct the executive director to transfer $250,000 from one of our legislative appropriations to the information and teleconference appropriation. It still would realize this $250,000 cut, but one of the items that you were provided shows how the legislature lapsed in FY16 over $8 million. So it would not impact the service or LIOs by doing that transfer. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Harney. Yes, Mr. President.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to ask a question of Pam here on that lapse money. Doesn't any extra money go towards our capital projects, which in this case is rebuilding the Capitol building? And so what you're saying is there's money still left over even after that money goes towards the repair of the Capitol building?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, yes, we have all the money encumbered for the renovation of the Capitol. This amount that is going into capital funds will be for future projects.
Okay. And if I may, Mr. Chairman, you know, it's really hard for me to comment on these LIOs in the outside of Anchorage, Juneau, and Fairbanks. I mean, I can visualize Juneau and Fairbanks probably being pretty busy just because of the population base there. But like in number 10, we're recommending TOC. TOC in particular, it is a relatively small area, and I just don't know what kind of activity they have there. And if the LIO staff there are doing other functions, like helping with the permanent fund applications and other things that probably either, A, aren't our duties or our own personal staff should be helping them with, then that is something that we should probably seek not doing in these current times. So my question, Mr. Chairman, is can we get some feel for what the activity is in these LAOs that are recommended? What is it, Kenai, Bessel, Tok, Ketchikan?
Sue, would you like to comment on that?
Yes, Sue Cotter, Manager, Information and Teleconference Network, through the chair. Senator Myers, you know, our offices spend a lot of time doing outreach to the community. They maintain lists of people that are interested in certain issues and bills, and when they're scheduled for meetings or they change, move from one committee to another, and maybe there's amendments or committee substitutes, they reach out to these folks on their different email trees and let them know of the change. And, of course, any upcoming committee hearings that these bills will be heard in, let them know that the LIO is available if they wish to come and testify. But I think most importantly, it's, you know, our environment is such that unless you are an elected official or work here, it's kind of Greek to most people. So it's really important that somebody be there to inform and explain the process and how they can become involved. Does that answer your question?
Mr. Chairman, well, yes and no. I mean, like, for example, does the LAO office in Tok and the person or persons working in Tok, do they have enough general public coming in to warrant keeping it open?
Again, Sue Cotter, Manager, Information Teleconference Network, through the chair. I believe so. And over my tenure, we have had sessions where we actually have everybody do kind of a tick list of, you know, what people come in for. We haven't done that in the last, I don't know, 6 years or something like that. So I couldn't give you any numbers right now. And you got to remember, just like your own staff, we're kind of a, you know, an extension of your own staff. You know, that one person's issue could take, you know, 5 minutes and another an hour of time, depending on the person's level of education and knowledge of the legislative process. So even if somebody only had five people come in one day, each of those persons might have issues that take, you know, quite a bit of time, of our staff time. So it's a little bit hard to answer your question without some concrete stats. I mean, I'd be glad to implement that again in the future, but I don't have, you know, anything concrete for you right now.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman, if I could just follow up a little bit. It kind of begs the question, though, if maybe some of the LIO staff are dealing with our constituents that perhaps we and our own personal staff should be dealing with.
Sue Cotter, again, do you want me to comment on that?
Sure.
Be very careful, Sue.
I'm going to be very careful through the chair. I would say that there are some, and this isn't very often, but there are some constituents that want to talk to a nonpartisan staff. Can I leave it at that?
Well, Mr. Chairman, yeah, I get your answer. Although, again, I think we're elected to represent all constituents, regardless what part of your affiliation you are. But okay, I'll leave that one alone, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
If I could get in the queue.
Yes, this is Anna, Senator McKinnon.
Yes, if I could give
yes.
it to you.
Unless Representative Johnson, okay, Senator, please go ahead.
Two things. First, I believe our staff is nonpartisan. Is that correct?
No.
Our staff is partisan. The nonpartisan staff.
By the public, I guess. Senator Stevens, Ms. Barney, can you tell me if there was an option there? And I'll just throw one out. You said that we might brainstorm. What if we, like Senator Kevin Meyer is stating, I don't know the activity or the need out in TOC, and I don't want to point fingers at different LIOs, but at some point we're going to have to make a very difficult decision. And from my position, our budget is not changing that much. We still have a $4 billion hole, and next year is going to get worse. So option 11 for me is off the table. We shouldn't be robbing from Peter to pay Paul, per se. We have to implement a cut. But again, not looking at choosing LIOs, is there an option that I missed of just closing Fridays for all LIOs when we're in the interim only?
Yes,
so
that's...
So that people that are coming to try to participate in the hearings that we're having down in Juneau, that they have support and staff support there at that time.
I think that's option number 9, closing Friday's half day during the interim, being full time in the session, and also reducing the casual labor pool. I think that's what you're referring to. Maybe if you take just a minute, just to try to clarify how we got to where we are. Some of this, where we started was a recommendation that we close specific LIOs. And as I looked at that, it made me very uncomfortable because we're picking and choosing winners and losers. There could be a political reason for choosing one and not the other. And so it just seemed to me at that time that it would be best if we all felt a little bit of the pain. And that's why I support, all LIOs being reduced to some extent. Anyway, that's how we got to that point. So we haven't done the work it takes to know exactly how productive each and every LIO is, I don't think. So to choose TOC, to choose Bethel, to choose all of them under number 1, Seward, Nome, Kenai, that's sort of hard to do at this point. And I think the point that you made, Senator McKinnon, is that next year, I think we've got to look very closely at how productive each and every LIO is, and maybe that's the time to really address specific LIOs. And just one other thing I think we need to talk about is we haven't really talked about why we have LIOs. To a certain extent, Ms. Cotter mentioned inform and explain to the public, and that's really true. But I think that's the key we have to keep in mind here is what's the purpose of the LIOs? It's to be open to the public, to make sure the public has access, to make sure the public has somebody to go and talk to make sure they know what's going on. Now, I don't think any other state has such an extensive system of LIOs as we have. No other state has the distance to cover that we have. So I think it was wise, whoever thought of doing the LIOs years and years ago, it was a wise thing to do because it brings the entire public into the process. Any further comments? Yes, sir. And yes, Senator McKinnon, did we answer your question? Apparently so. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Machicki.
If I can get into the queue as well.
Okay, you're right after Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One's a question, the other's probably a comment. On the lapse funds down here, the RDU for info, did we lapse $226,000 in the info and teleconferencing?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, we did because Sue Cotter held back on allowing travel. She did not do their administrative meeting. We also, in reducing in FY16 through Barrow and Kotzebue, we had some vacancies in trying to then recruit. And so she implemented some cost-cutting measures. So we haven't lapsed that much money before, but this time we did. So we would be over expended. I can still show a minus, but it's a separate appropriation all by itself, and Legislative Council would have to move money in if we over expend if we don't do these cuts.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The second question is on the capital lapse, 225. And this is probably more of a statement. I've kind of always had a problem with the legislature lapsing capital money and not going through the same process of every other entity to have to go through the capital budget, have it put in, go through public testimony. And so I see $500,000 right there that I'd like to see come out of this. So Mr. Speaker or Mr. Chairman, I guess that's the question. I just think pigeonholing capital money and not putting it out front is not a good thing for us to do in terms of open and honest government.
Okay, thank you. I understand. Senator McChicken.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator McKinnon's comment was interesting about the robbing Peter to pay Paul, considering the first two LIOs in suggestion number one are in our district, United Seward. But I'm not being parochial about this, but when I think about sort of what might work, and you talked about the closing on Fridays, choice number five affects all LIOs similarly, which spreads the pain, if there is any pain. I think a lot of facilities are closed on Friday. Certainly the court system has moved in that direction. I think that works. People know they can come in Monday through Thursday. It's easy to adjust. When you close an LIO for 6 months, I mean, people just lose faith in the LIO as being a resource for them. And I think the Friday is effective. The other thing I think you can, if you wanted to do a combination that I think would probably bring the same value, would be to close all offices on Fridays. And then if some chose to be open on during session, you can give them 2 weeks a year to choose from that may be a period of, you know, inactivity. So I can tell you that the Kenai LIO is very active. Relatively speaking, we only have one employee. We had over 600 visits in the last few months. But there are times of the year where they're not very busy, so you could offer the local LIO a choice of perhaps 2 weeks during the year to also close to get the full value of item or option number five, and I think it would deliver somewhat over 298 if folks felt that could work. That way you're not picking winners and losers and folks that may not understand the local importance of the LIO that are on the Ledge Council aren't put in the position to have to sort of assume how those operations are working in those communities.
Yeah, thank you, Senator Machicki. Just to make sure we understand that number five, what we're talking about is all year-round LIOs throughout the year, which means that during session they would be closed on Fridays as well. So that was one concern that was raised, is that there's a greater need for LIOs during session than there is during the interim. So just to help understand that.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, and before you speak, let me also say I want to thank Senator Machicki, because it was his idea that really led to our thinking about a Friday closure. And he recommended it. I thought about it, and I looked into it and actually talked with the court system, which has done that in the afternoon on Friday, and at least talking to management in the court system, they seem to think it's working very well. And, in fact, the employees, even though they have a smaller income, they do appreciate getting Friday afternoons off. So thank you, Senator Majicki, for that original contribution. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, this is Senator Coghill.
Yes, Senator Coghill, please go ahead.
I like the option number nine, but what I need to know, if I was to land on that one, is what is the actual casual labor dollars left over, and how do you think that we would spread that? For example, there are times where you probably have family vacations, and then we have ramping up into the session, we have the Christmas break. And so would we be able to spread that? So what's left over? Maybe Pam can answer that.
Thank you, Pam.
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, it would leave a balance of $61,000.
Okay. That's not right. Mr. Chair. So that doesn't leave much room, does it?
It doesn't, but let me make one further comment on that issue. Knowing my own LIO, my staff is there, personal staff, legislative staff, and they are in the office on Fridays and other times when the LIO staff needs to take a break or has some time off or whatever. And so we cover for each other. We move it back and forth. So it does seem to me that if we were to choose to take Friday afternoons off, that it would be important that the legislators recognize that the LIO is not staffed and that we have our own staff there. That wouldn't be asking too much, I don't think. My staff does it anyway, and I would think we should all take on that responsibility of filling in when the LIO staff is not there. Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Following along with Senator Coghill. Senator Coghill mentioned, he asked how much of the casual labor pool money had lapsed. Is that $61,000? Is that what I heard?
No, that's not lapsed. That's the amount that's left in the casual labor pool when we take out $162,000. Is that right, Pam? We've got $61,000 left. So that, and number nine, that would leave us $61,000 for casual labor.
Then let me rephrase my question. Is there money remaining in the casual labor pool on a regular basis, say over the last 2 or 3 years? Are you utilizing fully the amount budgeted for casual labor, or is there money remaining each year?
Through the chair, Representative Drummond, there is money left in the casual labor pool. Sue Cotter does that is she allocates to each LIO so much money for them for their casual labor pool, and some LIOs use up all of their casual labor and others don't. So it is a pool of money that is available, but if they don't use it, it will lapse.
Okay, and to continue,
yes, please.
It's my understanding that there are a number of committees that are meeting on Fridays. We would, if we close the LIOs on Fridays or Friday afternoons, I assume that we could not allow committees to meet during those periods.
I think that's
incurring additional costs.
I think that's true. I think it'd be hard for our staff to do that sort of thing. I think it would take a little bit of time for people to get comfortable with it. But once you know that you cannot have an audio conference Friday afternoon as a legislator, you would just have to schedule it at other times. I think you're quite right. That'll be one of the issues, that we will not be able to have audio conferences on Friday afternoon. Is that right, Ben? Yeah.
That is correct, Senator Stevens.
Senator Stevens, Sue Cotter, can I just add something?
Yes, Sue, please go ahead.
So number nine reduces all year-round LIOs, closing half days during the interim, not during session. So it would not affect our main mission. And I don't think it would be a big leap to just train people that we can't have teleconferences on Friday afternoons. And if we had to for some reason, then we could stagger our staff. It would mainly be the Juno staff, because somebody'd have to be here to moderate the teleconference and to man the bridge. And secondarily, number nine, in case you care, this is my after 11, which seems to be off the table. Number nine seems the best option to me. The only thing I would caution is that Anchorage and Fairbanks have a pretty big workload during the interim, because most you know, I think Anchorage has 27 offices, legislators in the building and staff, and I can't remember how many in Fairbanks, but, you know, they do a lot of interim work with all the legislators and staff coming back. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, thank you, sir. And we do care what you think. Obviously, you have better connection to all of these folks than we do, so we certainly do care. I appreciate your comment on number nine. We're only talking about the interim. The offices would be open 5 days a week during session, and there could be audio conferences Monday through Friday. So I'm sorry, Representative Drummond, I sort of gave you the wrong idea. We'll get Monday through Friday during session, you can have audio conferences. During the interim, that half day could be a little more problematic for audio conferences. But tell me, Sue, so we do use comp time. Is that something that could be utilized with our LIO staff if there was to be an audio conference during the interim?
Sue Cotter, Manager of Information and Teleconference, through the chair. Senator Stevens, yes, I believe we could work that out. And, you know, as I said, you know, if during the interim somebody needed a conference on no matter what office, Juno would definitely have to be open. But if it involved other offices, we could stagger, these would be year-round offices, we could stagger their 3.5 hours off, you know, at another time in the week.
Okay.
Right? It's just Monday morning off instead of Friday afternoon off.
Thank you, Sue. Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I think I'm warming up to number nine, too, is probably the best method that for everyone. However, I would hope, since it doesn't look like our $4 billion or $3 billion, whatever it is now, deficit's going to go away anytime soon, that it would be good if we can start compiling data on usage of the LIOs and which ones are active and when they're active. But I'm trying to visualize how this would work. If we're closed Friday afternoons and I have a constituent that I want to meet on a Friday afternoon, say at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, would there be security here, or is the doors actually going to be shut or locked and only open by staff, or how would that work?
Good question. Pam?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, we will have security. We have a contract through December, and then we'll go out to bid again. We will have a property manager at our new building to give out keys. So I guess we're just going to have to work through some of these things to see how it's going to work.
Okay, and if I can follow up on that, Mr. Chairman. So again, some of these more rural LIOs, they will actually be close the doors locked on Friday afternoons?
Well, if I could just respond from my own LIO, no, that's not the case. If the LIO staff is not there, and we have no security other than me, so that's it. But I do have a staff there who's there on Fridays, and I think most of us probably do. So in that case, our LIO would be open. Folks should come in and talk to my staff, to my staff and also the House member staff. A little more problematic in the LIO building here, where it's you're a few floors up. But for those of us in the smaller LIOs, the door will be open and folks could come in.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further comments? I think we're... Yeah, yes, please, go ahead.
Yeah, before we get too far, Mr. Chairman, I don't have my list in front of me because I'm listening to you on the phone. I have opened it up and closed it a couple times looking at the different options. But was there an option there to close the LIO all day on Friday during the interim?
Opening
the session to cover any committee hearings, things like that, and then reduce the casual labor pool. I mean, we have to remember, and we utilize the LIO folks in Kenai and Seward and other areas as much as probably anyone else does. But we have to also remember that during the interim, our staff should be in the office, and the LIO actually deals with issues that the legislature or staff should be taking care of anyway. And so, you know, I look at the LIO as an extension of my staff when my staff's not available to help my constituents. And so, you know, to me, taking Fridays off completely during the interim, you know, I know Anchorage probably sees an influx of folks into the LIO, and so does Fairbanks and Juneau. But the staff should be available, the legislative staff should be available to help their constituents with whatever the issue happens to be. So, you know, me personally, I think I'd rather see us take off on Fridays, except during session. And I don't know what that number works out to be, Mr. Chairman.
Which one? Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a good question. I think we have it on here somewhere, but I can't locate it quickly. Pam, which option would that be? Is that number six?
Through the chair, I don't think we have it on here. It's kind of like six. We could do like a 6A or whatever. We still would come up with the 298,000. It probably just would take a little bit more from the casual labor pool, and we could accomplish what Representative, you know, Chenault wants to look at doing. So we would make that option work if that is what the council wanted to do. But I don't see it on here.
No, so a full Fridays off is what you're suggesting. And, you know, I do see that working for my LIO and also for yours, Mr. Speaker. I think it's more problematic for the bigger LIOs where the legislator staff is far removed from the lobby. That might be a little harder for them.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
I understand that, but also, you know, I also know that Anchorage LIO is the biggest LIO, but they have, I don't know what, 15 or 20 between the Senate and the House that should have staff there that if a person does come in and does, you know, that's their representative. If LIO was closed, that's who they would go to or should go to anyway.
No, you're right. Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd have some concerns about a 20% salary cut to our professional staff. I also have concerns about training and retention of staff. I don't know what's involved in training casual staff, the casual labor pool to come in. You know, if we're going to be closing LIOs, I think we need to consider who's going to be coming in on an as needed basis, and I'm assuming that's casual labor. But I'd have real concerns about cutting professional staff 20% and expecting to retain them.
Thank you. I certainly understand that, and it's difficult to cut. I mean, I know the members of our finance committee have been on the line on that, but there's never an easy thing to have to take a budget reduction. Who was speaking? Was that Senator McKinnon?
It is, Mr. Chairman. If I could be clear, the modification to number 9 is what I had originally spoken to. And that was to make Fridays full time off. And I absolutely understand what Representative Drummond is saying about a 20% cut on these individuals. That wouldn't happen because they're working full time at least 3 months out of the year, with Fridays, under this administration, 6 months out of the year when we're in session. So it wouldn't be less, but it is a consideration for the cut that those individuals who've been serving our state and our constituents would be taking a pay cut.
Let me thank you, Senator. Let me clarify that just a little bit. What we have been talking about, myself and the LIO and the Legislative Affairs staff, is 4 months full time. You know, because of the overlap of sessions, so 4 months full time, and 8 months with Fridays off. I just want to make the point that should there be a special session the funding for the LIO staff will come out of another pot of money. Is that correct, Pam?
Yes, Senator Stevens, that is correct.
So they may not see that 20% reduction. Yes, Representative Johnson.
Thank you. And maybe this is a, I'm not sure who's online can answer this, but in our security contract, right now there's no screening of anyone coming in Anchorage specifically. They just walk right in. It's basically they're there to respond. Is there provisions within our contract that would have the security call Senator Meyer's office on a Friday, because he's got staff there, although there's no one in the LIO, they could call them or sign people in so we don't just have people coming in like we do now and running on any floor they want to go, so that either someone has to come down and get them. So that, I mean, I see would that be an additional cost on the contract, or would that be just another stipulation we have on the contract that the security person actually signs people in so we know who's in and out on that Friday when we're closed and the staff is taking a lot of those questions?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, we did do that before, and there were legislators that did not like having people have to sign in and say where they were going, but that is certainly within our contract to have our project director, who is Mike Miranda on the contract, just have the security guard do that. But that I would like to have legislative council tell us that that's what they want us to do.
Mr. Chairman, if I could. I think if we're going to have the LIO closed and people are going to be talking about other issues and wandering through the building, for lack of a better term, that we ought to know who those people are, and security, even if we don't know who they are, they want to go see Representative Meyer, they could call, or Senator Meyer, they could call, and at least we know where they're going, whether we write their name down or not. I just don't think we want people without LIO staff here doing their regular kind of stuff to be able to just walk in and wander the building. I mean, talk about a security nightmare. That would be so. If it doesn't cost us any more, I don't see closing all day Friday or half day on Friday as being a big issue either way, as long as we don't have people wandering through the building.
So, through the chair, Representative Johnson, are you saying we would just do that on Friday, or would you want our security guard to do that all the time?
I would do it just on Fridays when they go to the LIO staff for a permanent phone question or something like that. There's no need to check in, but if they're going specifically to see someone, then they would sign in once that area beyond the up the elevator. So I'm not talking about 24/7. I'm just talking about that one day when there's not a full staffing, that we'd at least know who's in the building.
Okay, thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Drummond.
Thank you. I tend to agree with Representative Johnson's approach. If you consider any other state office, there's a receptionist or somebody that acts a receptionist. The public isn't just walking into the Department of Natural Resources and going directly to the office that they have an appointment with. And I think it also needs to be a consideration when the new space is designed at the Wells Fargo building in Midtown, in terms of how you would greet the public and introduce them to the building, if this is going to become a permanent issue, and it sounds like it is, because we all have to take a permanent reduction.
Well, I think it's an important issue. I think it's a little side issue that we need to look at, and we can study that and figure out what we want to do with that. But if we can get back to the main issue of deciding how we're going to deal with this budget cut, is there anybody else has any other comments on this? If not, I'd ask, it seems to me that we are sort of centering around option number 9, and we might just have a discussion of that, and have a motion that we can really discuss and see how that goes. But before we do that, Pam, what holes can you poke in 9 as our staff? What's wrong with that? What are we not looking at? What are we not grasping about if we were to choose number 9?
Well, I don't know if, Senator Stevens, I don't know if there's any holes I can really poking it. I think 9 is a lot better than going to, let's say, 11 months or less than 11 months, because then it affects their health insurance. They definitely would be, you know, working 80%, and 80% we would be paying for their health insurance, and doing this just on half days, on Fridays, and having them, you know, working full time during session, it would not affect their health insurance. So, if this has to be, it's just that, it's just difficult is the thing to do these cuts.
Well, I certainly understand from your position and Ms. Cotter's as well, the difficulty of such a choice. But we are faced with having to make a substantial cut. Could we have a motion, Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Legislative Council reduce all year-round LIOs by closing all offices on Friday afternoons, half day, 3.5 hours during the interim, and reducing the casual labor pool, which corresponds to number 9 on your list of option sheet.
Thank you. So we have before us a motion. Any comments on that motion? Any discussion, further discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to offer maybe a friendly amendment that instead of closing those offices half days, I would say we close them full days except during the interim, that they're open full-time during they're closed full-time on Fridays during the interim, and they go back to 7 days during the session.
Okay, so that changes the savings. Now, we're looking for a total of $208,000. If that were to be our decision to go a full day instead of a half day, Pam, can you tell us what that does to the savings?
Senator Stevens, it would mean that we would have more in our casual labor pool, because we would, instead of just having them only work 3.5 or take 3.5 hours off, they'd be taking 7.5 hours off during the interim. So we would have more of a savings in our casual labor pool.
So that would increase the casual labor pool. Let me get this right. That would, let's see. So before we go to that, Pam, could you answer this question? What does that do to the health? If we were to go to full-time Friday, what does that do to the health coverage?
Senator Stevens, it still does not put them, it still is 80%. It still would not put them so that they would have to pay for their health insurance.
Okay. So can we get from Sue or yourself the actual dollar figures if we were to go to a full day off? What would be the interim savings, and what would be the casual labor pool savings? Can we get an actual figure there?
I'd have to ask Cynthia in personnel. I don't know if she's online or if someone there in Juneau can ask her to run those numbers really quick. But we have an Excel spreadsheet, and she could figure that out.
Mr. Okay. Chairman?
Yes, Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the details that we are trying to get to on actual dollar amounts. But if the total is 298, the Director of Legislative Affairs, as well as the Director of the Division, can actually move the numbers around where we want them. Ms. Varney, are the numbers that are represented in the memo that we received 6 months numbers? Because we're 7 months into the session already. So are those actual numbers, or are they projected numbers? Because if you're trying to make up $298,000 right now, and we're a month in to utilization of those dollars, some of that money is going to have to move anyway.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, we will institute what legislative council does. On paper, we will show it really from July, and you know, still with us, you know, cutting back and saving wherever we can, we will still realize the $298,000. We don't have that amount in our budget to begin with, so we will not overexpend.
Mr. Chairman, that wasn't the point. My point is that the numbers that are reflected here, the total is the bottom goal, and we're directing CAM how to actually accomplish that through a full-day closure, and then whatever the difference is going to be made up in the casual labor pool. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But we have a motion that says closing all offices Friday afternoons, half day. We have a friendly amendment, and there's no such thing as a friendly amendment. So I guess we would need to go to an actual amendment. My concern, honestly, is that I can accept a half-day closure on Fridays to see how it works. It saves us enough money. And in the future, if we find that that's still not enough, when there are additional cuts, then maybe we should be going to a full day on Friday. But I think this is a step towards solving our problem. And so where we are then is we have a motion, half days, and Mr. Speaker, did you want to make an amendment to go to full days?
Mr. Chairman, would you like me to remove my amendment?
I'd be delighted.
Mr. Chairman, then I will remove my amendment. We'll see how the vote goes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Further comments, discussion? Then a roll call on the motion, and again, state the motion. It was moved that the Legislative Council reduce all year-round LIOs by closing all offices on Friday afternoon, half day, 3.5 hours, during the interim, and reduce the casual labor pool. Roll call, please.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Heron. Vice Chair Heron. Senator Meyer.
Yes.
Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Senator Michicki.
Yes.
Representative Chenault.
No.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Representative Drummond.
Yes.
Is there any member that I haven't called on? Nine yeas, one nay.
Nine yeas, one nay. The motion passes. We've completed our business. Thank you very much, and we're adjourned.